If you'd like to open to Philippians chapter 3, we're going to look at four verses from there, 7 and 8 and 3 and 14, and I'll read some of those in a moment as we go along. But we've been looking at being crucified with Christ in the afternoons, and today we're going to be looking at barriers blocking out God, barriers that block out God. Look, should not our longing to love God, to praise Him worthily, mean more than just the words we say? Well, the answer to that should be a very clear and emphatic yes. You see, true praise, true worship, the message, the objectives, and the methods of the New Testament church have been allowed to go to sleep. They're done in name only. Much worship in modern day churches is nothing more than pleasing the flesh. Much of the preaching is the same thing, just to please the flesh, and they're done in name only. And the question is it wrong? Has it become too radical to go to God, to pray to Him, to cleanse the intents of our hearts and minds with the unspeakable gift of God's grace? You know, to long for God, to love Him, to praise Him in a manner that's worthy of His name. Now, that should cost you and I everything. The trouble is there anything wrong with saying that? Has that sort of statement become heresy? Well, it seems to be in the modern church. The modern church wants to take and get, rather than seeing the cost it is to worship God in a worthy manner. Paul said to us in Philippians 3, 7 and 8, "But what things were gain to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ." See, he wanted people to know Christ as a daily conscious experience. See, he wanted them to know the reality of a real and personal relationship. And his prayer was that Christ would dwell in the heart of every believer by faith. To the Corinthians, he said in 2 Corinthians 13:5, he said, "Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates?" To the Romans, he said, "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." You see, it's by the indwelling of Christ we receive the riches of God. It's by the indwelling of Christ we see Him face to face, spiritually speaking. And sadly, there has arisen between the believer and the very presence of God barriers that are blocking Him out. Now, these barriers hide from us, as it were, the riches of God, and the result of that is we can no longer sense His presence. In other words, what I mean by that, know the reality of our relationship with Him, which is the very thing He desires that we do. You know, it's a wonderful thing when you wake up in the morning. And I had one the other day. We're very early risers. And it's a bit dark when we get up, and you wake up and you're waiting for the sun. It starts to rise, and you look up and you can see, man, there's not a cloud in the sky today. This is going to be an amazing day, and it's beautiful. It's beautiful. It's a glorious day. But many times, the afternoon clouds start to roll in, the sun gets blocked out, and it's not as glorious as it started out to be. And the spiritual life of a believer is very much the same. There are things that present barriers that come between us and God. And most of these barriers are of our own making. We let them cloud over our lives, and a lot of the time we're not even aware of the real impact that they have on us. Now, I don't have time to give the extensive list as to what there really is, but there are a few things that bring far more trouble than most of the others into our lives. So I want to look at some of those today. And the first one is pride and stubbornness. Stubbornness. Now, they're twins. The two go together. You can't separate them. And they're the biggest barriers that block God out. Nothing is more like the first Adam in our lives than these two things. And the foundation pride and stubbornness is built on is an overinflated view of who we are. You know, God said in 1 Samuel 2:30 that he would honor those that honor him. And our problem comes from honoring God, honoring ourselves before we honor him. Now, there's a three-letter word that goes with that, and it's called ego. All our problems with our families, all our problems with our friends, with ourselves, are built upon the foundation of having an ego. You know, when God is pushed out of his rightful place, that's when we find ourselves in trouble. And the reason we dethrone God is because we think more highly of ourselves than anybody else, including God. Now, Philippians 2:3, Paul said, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let us each esteem others better than themselves." Romans 12:3 says, "To every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think." You see, even when we're wrong, pride and stubbornness stops us acknowledging it. And that means we can no longer go forward in our walk with God. The quickest way to get rid of that is just to say sorry. Don't spend the rest of the day trying to get out of it. Just deal with it straight away. See, these two traits are barriers. It's like the clouds coming over a nice sunny day. They block God out. They twist out of shape the importance of God's authority in our lives. Secondly, there's self-will. And self-will, he's the little cousin of the first two. He hangs onto their hands. And the danger of this barrier is it's a very religious thing. In the unsaved world, self-will, that's promoted. That's what you should be. It's applauded. Encouraged. But when it comes to the life of a believer, the life of a believer and the life in the church, it can be shattering. Because self-will always pushes aside God's will. Self-will, it may seem all right on the surface, but have you ever crossed a self-willed person? Not very nice. Not very nice at all. When something challenges a self-willed person, then you see how nice they really are. Now, last week in our FBI Bible studies, he was talking of a joke a radio station played on a woman. She got a call with a man pretending to be her pastor, and this church had been having a pancake day for something like 40 years, and the radio man pretended to be the new assistant pastor, and he said, "We're going to cancel that from now on. We're going to have something else." Well, she let go on this guy and tore him to pieces. And he had to stop her and says, listen, "I'm not really the pastor. You're in a competition and your granddaughter put you in for it." I wouldn't have liked to have been the granddaughter. But you see, self-will blocks out the fact that God's will always has our best interests at heart for the long term. Self-will is only worried about this afternoon. Thirdly, there's religious ambition. This is probably the most deceiving of all the barriers between us and God, because this one really distorts God's will. And you see it trying to push in all the time. It's like when a person, they really want their church to grow. And most believers want that. There's nothing wrong with that. Big churches are biblical. You know, the early church of Jerusalem shows us that. But they stir the people up and they forget the real purpose of the church and the community. See, pastors are pushing their churches beyond God's authority. Some get into politics. Others are nothing more than a social gospel. Some are focused on education. And now nothing wrong with all of those things. But they don't take part in the great commission God's given to the church to go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Teaching them what? To observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. See, just because something has a church label on it doesn't mean nor make that approved unto God. And that's a very easily put up barrier between man and God. Fourth, there's ownership. Now, this causes a lot of trouble. Do you know, many pastors think they own their church. They won't let go, they hang on, they think they're the ones who own it. But in basic ownership, for many believers, see, whatever I claim as mine for myself will always block out God from my view. Listen, whatever I absolutely do not surrender and give up to God immediately puts a barrier between me and him. Now, there are many believers who really believe that if they fast long enough and if they pray long enough about something, God's going to change his mind about it. But that's not going to happen, because you can pray and fast all you like, but nothing is going to remove this barrier of ownership but surrender to him. See, once I take everything off my altar and go and place it onto to God's altar and listen, leave it there, the barrier between me and God will be gone, and I will see his face, know his presence, spiritually speaking, in my life. But if I'm hanging on to it, it'll be a blockage all the time. Can you imagine? Imagine the view Abraham had once he put his son on the altar. What a different view he had of the world. And what we hang on to, without a doubt, will weigh us down and it'll hinder our spiritual growth. The fifth one is fear. Now, fear is the foundation of unbelief. Nothing more than fear will put a barrier between the believer and God. See, the real question is, do I really believe God has his best interest on his heart? Or is there fear in my heart blocking out the best of God's will for me? You see, fear always, always focus on what's going on around us. Every time. Fear always focuses on the circumstances instead of focusing on God. Something can go wrong and the next thing you know, you've got yourself in a hospital somewhere with 20 doctors looking at you and all you've got is a splinter in your hand. That's what fear does to a person. Can you imagine when those three young Hebrew boys were thrown into that fiery furnace? They may have felt a bit discouraged if they'd focused on the fire. but they didn't focus on the fire. They looked beyond the fire and they saw the face of God. And they were so conscious of God, so conscious of his favour and protection on them, that we are told not one hair on their head or body was singed, and there wasn't even the smell of smoke on their clothes. Remember Stephen, when he was being taken out to be stoned, it said he, being full of the Holy Ghost, he looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. And he said, "Behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." And when he said this, he fell asleep. He had no fear of death. None at all. Now, number six, this is a barrier that blocks God out for sure, without a doubt. Without a doubt. And that is money. What a barrier. See, it's not only having a lot of money that causes problems, but many problems are caused because people don't have enough money. Why? Because their focus is on money, not on God. Proverbs 30 verse 7 to 9 tell us, "Two things have I required of thee, deny me them not before I die. Remove far from me vanity and lies, give me neither poverty nor riches, feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain." See, the barrier of money has never been how much you have or how much you don't have. It's about how much money has you. That's the barrier. For many, it doesn't take much money for them to put up a barrier between them and God. They live life with short arms and deep pockets. I don't know how they get around sometimes, but they seem to. But it's a real barrier for them. Now, the seventh one is friendships. And this can be a very difficult barrier between God and the believer. And I'm not just talking about having unsaved friends. See, the truth is, I don't know about you, but my unsaved friends dropped off pretty quick once I told them I was saved. They didn't want too much more to do with me. I didn't have to leave them, they left me. But in the church, the friends we have in church sometimes can become more important to a believer than their relationship with God. They feel the pressure to adjust themselves to each other. But we're not called to do that. We are called to adjust ourselves to God. Unfortunately, though, many believers don't think they need to make any adjustments for God or to God. And if I'd be honest today, neither do they really want to. Very few say how high when God says jump. You see, Christian fellowship is encouraging. It's uplifting. And there's no thing so wonderful as that fellowship. But when that fellowship replaces the real intimacy and fellowship with God, it then becomes a barrier in a believer's life. The eighth one and the last one is social standing. Now, this is another hard barrier to take down, and that is the positions people hold. You see, positions in life establish who we are. They determine our influence on the church, in the home, and in the community. It doesn't have to be a major position. But the barrier we put up is allowing our position to take the place of God's approval in our lives. And if we aren't careful, we start to seek man's pat on the back. We desire to be approved of men instead of wanting to be approved of God. Heard a story this week about a pastor. He had a small church. This is in the United States. It's a small country church, and that big churches by our standards, of course, but a small country church. And he was getting 100 or so on Sunday mornings, another 100 or so Sunday evenings. He was getting about 65 for the Wednesday service. And the Lord challenged his heart, and he said, "I want your Wednesday service now to become a prayer meeting." So he announced the next week, "Yes, we've got our morning and evening service the same, but Wednesday evening is now going to be a prayer meeting." And he was amazed at the turn up. There were six of them. Just six of them. No real desire to honour God, you see. If we're not careful, we just want man's pat on the back. Second Timothy 2:15 tells us to study to show thyself approved unto God. Now all these barriers are areas in life on the surface that may be pretty innocent enough. But they will become a blockage between us and God if we don't do something about them. Now, some believers get it, and they do something about it. They press on with their walk with God. They're hand in hand with Him. They know what the reality of a real, vital relationship with Him is all about. Others are a little bit like the carnal Christian, who wander over here for a while, then wander back over there for a while. They come to the, as we looked at last week, to the edge of the promised land, but they never actually hop into it. You see, if you truly want to live a life crucified to Christ, one where God is just so real, you can't do without Him, that takes commitment. That takes work. That takes sacrifice. And the one thing we must do is take down the barriers that are blocking out that real relationship with Him. Listen, God is a jealous God. God will suffer no rivals in the life of His child. And whatever rival we place between ourselves and Him becomes a blockage in our relationship with Him. And the problem is ours. We can't blame anybody else for it, and we certainly cannot blame God for it. You see, as we surrender and submit to Him, as we allow the Holy Spirit complete access to our life, and don't let anyone tell you how much you can have of Him. You can have all you want. Then the barriers can come down and we can let God reign. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word to us this afternoon. Very simple, Lord, but it's good for us to hear these things. It's better if we apply them. And help us, Lord, to truly come to the cross and not just stand there and look at it, but put ourselves upon it. Allow You, Lord, full and complete reign over who we are and all that we are. so that you might be glorified and we might be satisfied, Lord. There is far too much dissatisfaction in believers' lives. And the reason for that is we just haven't really surrendered to you. And we pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit would challenge us concerning the barriers we place between us and you. And we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.